puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And it's time once again for Abandoned Manitoba on the Weekend Morning Show. And we say hello once again to Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nolan.
You left us with a very spooky clue, and I've been quaking in my boots all week waiting to hear more about it. What are we discussing this week?
We were looking at a site that I visited a few weeks ago. It was one of the creepiest places that I have ever talked about in these 8 years of Abandoned Manitoba. It is the former home of the Thunderbird Bowling Lanes in Brandon.
Okay, bowling. That's not too scary, I guess,
no,
but
just wait.
Okay, all right. What is the story of the Thunderbird Bowling Lanes, Gordon?
Well, in 1962, St. Boniface businessman Guy Savoy, who incidentally passed away just a few weeks ago, moved his family to Brandon, where he had built a new bowling alley, Brandon's first 10-pin lanes, at the corner of 10th Street and Princess Avenue. Now, it was an unusual building in that it was a large, single underground structure, essentially a basement with nothing above it.
What, like a bowling bunker?
Basically.
Why was it built that way?
I think that Mr. Savoy intended to eventually build a multi-story block on top of the basement. The main floor would have retail shops with offices on upper levels. I don't know, maybe his funding ran out, maybe there wasn't sufficient demand for additional retail and office space at the time. Whatever the reason, the roof of the basement was turned into a parking lot with an entrance off 10th Street. And that's all that was ever built. A small cinder block cube at the northwest corner of the parking lot contained stairs that led down into the bowling alley.
This is rapidly becoming one of the coolest bowling alleys I've ever heard about. Parking on top? That sounds awesome. What did it look like on the inside?
In its original configuration, Thunderbird Bowling had 16 lanes, although that was reduced to 12 in later years when four of the lanes were converted into a restaurant and lounge called Huggies. By all accounts, it was a very popular place for bowling and for hanging out in Brandon through the 1960s. In 1973, Mr. Savoy sold the business and returned to St. Boniface, where he operated hair salons. The new Thunderbird owner was Alexander Peters and some partners. Over the next few years, Peters bought out his partners to become the sole proprietor of Thunderbird. I recently spoke with his son, Trevor Peters, and he shared the history of the Thunderbird Lanes and his family's long involvement with it.
I would imagine that would be a really cool place to be a kid, to have your parents involved in owning a bowling alley.
You know, free bowling, free video games, free pool. What would be better?
Best birthday party ever. So what happened then? What caused the bowling alley to be abandoned?
Well, by the late 1990s, it had become clear that there was simply not enough space here for a viable business. It was necessary to offer other attractions to patrons. People expected more, things like video games. So in 2000, on the outskirts of Brandon, Trevor Peters built a 20-lane bowling alley, but it also had a full restaurant and sports bar, a meeting facilities, an arcade, billiards, a huge parking lot. You know, it had just much more to attract, you know, people that wanted to hang out. He renamed the place T-Birds and slated that the original bowling alley would close in the spring of 2001.
And I guess that this is where we come back to your recent visit and this sort of haunting thing you alluded to in the clue. I'm, again, a little scared to ask, but walk us through the old bowling alley.
Well, with permission from the city of Brandon, which owns the former bowling alley today, we were met at the entrance on 10th Street by a city building inspector. He unscrewed one of the sheets of plywood that cover the windows and entrance doors, and we climbed in through a window. The decrepit condition of the site was immediately obvious. You know, my boots crunched on broken glass that littered the stairwell as we walked down. It was totally black down there, except for the light that was projected from flashlights that we were carrying. As we descended the stairs, the air became increasingly humid. At the bottom of the stairs, my flashlight could make out a lot of rubble. There was, you know, assorted cables and equipment that had been torn out and piled very haphazardly. It was a cavernous space. All the interior walls had been removed, although the patchwork of different floor tiling made it possible to see where walls had once been. Where the bowling alleys had been, the lanes themselves, the floor dropped down at least a foot, and that whole area was filled with about a foot of water. That's why it was so humid everywhere. And there were numerous concrete columns covered in flaking paint that stood throughout this pool. Very, very stout concrete columns, presumably designed to carry the load, not only of the roof above and the cars that would park on it, but also the upper levels of a building that, well, of course, never materialized.
That does sound quite creepy with all this water, the broken glass, and the memories, I guess, of what was once there. What are the sounds that are existing? You've done such a great picture. You've done such a great job of illustrating what it looks like. What does it sound like down there?
In addition to being dark and damp, it was eerily quiet, except every so often you hear this occasional kerplunk as a water drop from the ceiling would fall into the flooded bowling lanes, and it would reverberate off the walls. You know, so I put on rubber boots and I waded around the lanes, you know, carrying my flashlight, and the light reflected off the flaking columns. Oh, it seemed really surreal, you know, almost post-apocalyptic. What also seemed odd, though, was that it appeared someone had been doing work down there fairly recently. My city guide knew nothing about it. You know, it's possible, though, that the work that was being done was simply above his pay grade to know about.
I wonder what kind of work was happening down there.
No idea. You know, because it was so damp, everything metal was rusted, except an electrical panel on one wall that seemed actually quite new and unrusty. So it was obviously not 20 years old since the bowling alley had been abandoned. There were extensions cords running here and there. There was a couple of light banks on tripods. There were hard hats, coveralls, and viz vests strewn on the floor. I'm almost like the people wearing them had been just vaporized and they were just laying on the floor where they had fallen. You know, someone had jackhammered a trench in the concrete floor, and on the ceiling there was some kind of material that had been fastened as though to patch a leak. You know, perhaps it was intended to reduce water pouring in from the parking lot above, but, you know, why? You know, why would somebody pay to prevent water infiltration into an abandoned building unless there are some plans for its reuse?
Do you get a sense that that is actually what the plan is? Because as you were describing it in its heyday, I got really excited and I want to go do some underground bowling.
well, water bowling maybe even. maybe it'll become a thing. Who knows? You know, but there's the rub. I mean, can this old bowling alley be used for something productive? You know, it seems to me, and of course I admit I am naive about these sort of things. I don't know. But the concrete walls, the roof, the floor all seemed pretty good condition. You know, the building was built for many more floors above it. It seemed very stoutly built. Why wouldn't it be possible for somebody to go down there to pump out the water and turn at least the bowling alley into something useful, but maybe even to build that above-ground structure that was envisioned over 60 years ago? You know, I suppose the crux of the matter is that there is not a lot of demand for land in downtown Brandon, as urban sprawl has put more lucrative development on the city's outlying areas. You know, I have to say, you know, all things considered, I'm somewhat doubtful that anything productive will come of the former Thunderbird bowling lanes. And I will make the prediction, and I, of course, might be wrong, but I would suspect the city of Brandon will eventually demolish it. You know, it's kind of a shame because the site will then become yet another surface parking lot like the rest of that block of 10th Street. It's sad because that block used to be one of the busiest ones in Brandon. You know, it was home to the Strand Theater, the Brown Business Block, a millinery shop where people would go to buy hats, a used car dealership, and a pharmacy. It's all gone today, along with one of Brandon's most popular recreational sporting attractions.
Gordon, I gotta ask, are you a 10-pin guy or a 5-pin guy?
You know, I think 10-pin. There's just so much, I think, more fun than seeing all those pins just go everywhere when you throw a ball at them. But interestingly enough, when we had a tour of the modern bowling lanes that replaced the old Thunderbird, we actually got a tour behind the scenes. What I always thought of is when we went bowling and they knocked the pins down, there was some poor guy that had to go and put them all back up again. Not anymore. They have these little wires that go down to each pin, and they just push a button, and the wires would pull up, and all the pins drop back into place, all automatic, no people involved.
Fantastic. Well, I'm more of a 5-pin guy myself, so I guess I'm less heartbroken than you about the loss of the 10-pin bowling lanes in Brandon. Although, as I say, underground bowling, quite cool. Thanks for bringing us this story, Gordon. What is up for next week?
Well, each year around Manitoba Day in May, the Lieutenant Governor presents awards to Manitobans who have done great work in promoting and preserving our province's history. Next week, I'll tell our listeners about the 4 fine people who received awards this year.
Well, you would know a lot about being recognized in this field, having received the Order of Manitoba for your work preserving Manitoba's lost and forgotten places. So we will look forward to hearing that next week.
Talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.